I began this episode of The Screen Show talking about some new initiatives that were coming down the pipe in 2020. Well, here's one of them. This is a new segment where we're going to be inviting people in to talk about one of their favourite actors, to tell us why they think their body of work is of particular merit and talk us through specific films or perhaps scenes or aspects of the actor's style or performance that they hold in high regard. Well, our first guest is Rebecca Harkins-Cross. Rebecca is a writer, editor, critic and researcher. She's currently the film columnist for The Lifted Brow, and she kicks off this new segment today to share her love of the work of Australian actor Judy Davis.
Don't you ever dream there's more to life than this?
Judy Davis has always been one of my favourite Australian actors, who's really made a career out of playing quote-unquote difficult women. Davis's remarkable body of work spans well over 30 feature films, collaborating with auteurs like Woody Allen, the Coen brothers, David Cronenberg and Sofia Coppola. But over four decades now, Davis has stayed true to her assertion that she's an actress first and foremost. She's not a celebrity. One of Davis's most beloved roles remains the headstrong, aspiring novelist Sibella in Gillian Armstrong's 1979 adaptation of My Brilliant Career.
Loneliness is a terrible price to pay for independence. Sibella, don't throw away reality for some impossible dream.
It's not impossible. It's not. Give me a chance to find out what's wrong with the world and with me. Who I am. Everything.
It was Davis's first starring role when she was just out of drama school and the peak of the Australian New Wave. But for me, Davis really comes into her own in Armstrong's later film High Tide, which was released in 1987.
What did you tell her about me? That you're dead?
Of course.
Well, I had to. You screwed up my boy's life. You carted him off all around the countryside.
No, no bit. No more.
Damn it, you were the one who pissed off. Well, I did it to protect you.
To protect yourself. To protect yourself. Because you're a greedy old woman, Bess. Why blame me for John? Why do that? Why blame anybody?
I don't blame you.
Where were you when he died? Why couldn't you have helped me?
Here Davis plays Lily, a backup singer for an Elvis impersonator named Lester, who's played by Frankie J. Holden, whose illustrious touring circuit is these backwater RSLs. And unlike the other women in the band, Lily refuses to pander to Lester's ego, and soon enough she's left stranded in a small coastal town. So Lily checks into the caravan park to decide her next move, and there she befriends a teenage girl named Ally, who's played by a young Claudia Carvin, who she later realises is the daughter she gave up when she was just a baby. There's this scene early on where Ally sees Lily for the first time on the beach. She's framed in a medium long shot. She's just a figure in a dark ankle-length overcoat, paddling in this impossibly blue water. She's so totally incongruous in this iconic setting of Australian cinema. When the camera moves in closer, we see she's got a ciggy in one hand and a bottle of whiskey in the other. And like Ally, we're sizing up if this stranger is dangerous or perhaps a little bit mad. But as she's playing in the water, Davis captures something so beautifully about the pleasure and the freedom of those kind of moments of recklessness and of outsiderdom. Davis would go on to often be cast as a woman who struggles with feminine and maternal expectations, but I think it's still High Tide that explores the difficulty of the mother-daughter relationship with the most nuance. So Judy Davis was in her mid-30s when she broke into Hollywood, firstly with Woody Allen, who she went on to make five films with. My favourite performance of hers, though, in this early Hollywood period is Naked Lunch, an adaptation of the autobiographical but also incredibly surreal novel by beat writer William Burroughs, directed by the Canadian body horror director David Cronenberg, famously nicknamed the Baron of Blood. Male directors often cast Judy Davis as these extremely highly strung, very cultured and intelligent, perhaps also very repressed female characters. And this is particularly the case with Woody Allen. There's basically a scene in every Woody Allen film she stars in where her ex-husband will describe her as cold and cerebral. Cronenberg, though, allows Judy Davis to be wonderfully perverse here as Joan Lee, the wife of the Burroughs stand-in Bill, played by Peter Weller, who in real life and in the film famously shot and killed her in what he told the police was a game of William Tell gone wrong. Joan is this wan, strung-out junkie who, like her husband, is addicted to bug powder, the tool of his trade as an exterminator.
It's a very literary high. Very literary.
What do you mean it's a literary high?
It's a Kafka high. You feel like a bug.
Thought you were finished with doing weird stuff.
I thought I was too, but I guess I'm not.
After he shoots her, Bill's addiction grows and slowly he loses his grip on reality and he enters this place called the Interzone, based on Burroughs' time in the Moroccan city of Tangier, where Davis reappears again as Joan's doppelganger, who's now the wife of Bill's literary rival. There are elements of Naked Lunch that are so ridiculous and so funny, but at the same time, Davis shows here how she's always able to mine this deep reserve of feeling in any character.
Nobody ever let me cry for my father. I was expected to go on singing and working as if nothing had happened.
Francis, I want you to listen to me. You are adored all over the world. You got two beautiful children.
Oh, they are beautiful, aren't they?
They're gorgeous. You've got a man who truly loves you. Not to mention a movie that could turn out to be a masterpiece.
Do you really think so?
There's a scene in Woody Allen's 1998 film Celebrity where Judy Davis's character consults a plastic surgeon who tells her everything that's wrong with her. Her eyes are too beady, her lips are too thin. And it calls to mind a very similar scene for Judy Garland in A Star is Born, which was famously inspired by Judy Garland's treatment at the hands of studio executives. Just a few years later, Davis went on to play Garland in the biographical miniseries My Life with Judy, Me and My Shadows, which was released in 2001 and based on Garland's daughter Lorna Luft's memoir. My Life with Judy has the aesthetics, the style and the melodrama of a midday telly movie, but then at its heart is this staggering performance by Judy Davis, definitely one of her best, which won her an Emmy and a Golden Globe amongst a swathe of other awards. Davis plays Garland at the time she met the director Vincent Minnelli, with whom she made some of her best work in Meet Me in St. Louis and The Pirate, but also the time when her drug addiction was really starting to take its toll, as was the trauma of her treatment by studios when she was a young girl. The head of the studio famously referred to her as my little hunchback girl. Both Davis and Garland are women that never fit the type of the starlet. But here we see this range from Davis that she's never been allowed before or since with other directors. In consecutive scenes, we see her throwing a tantrum and popping another pill before she gets on set to perform the trolley song from Meet Me in St. Louis, where we slowly see everyone, including the queer director who she'd go on to marry, fall in love with her. It's very difficult for an actor to play another actor, not least when you're dealing with one as iconic and as beloved as Judy Garland was, without slipping into some kind of ventriloquism or mimicry. But Davis plays Garland in all her complexity. She's fragile, needy, egotistical, insecure, charming, and perhaps most importantly, entirely captivating as a performer. Davis is able to nail her expressions and her physicality, but at the same time, she's able to create this performance that's authentic and entirely her own.
Writer and critic Rebecca Harkins-Cross talking about why she counts Judy Davis as one of her favourite on-screen presences.